You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
802, make the smart call to Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Donnie in for Adam and Doran this morning, taking you up until 10. Dom DiTommaso behind the glass in place of Nicholas Harry Callis. And 8 o'clock on Tuesdays on the Fan Morning Show is the time for former Steelers offensive lineman, two-time Super Bowl champion Trey Essex. He is with us now, coming to us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Trey, hope you had a very good holiday. Hope you have a great new year as well. But, man, the Steelers did not give us a gift on Sunday. That was one of the ugliest performances of 2025, and I would expect you to agree.
Totally. It is now Tuesday, 8:03, and me and Charlie Batch got a little bit of therapy yesterday as we reviewed the game yesterday on the Snap Count. Make sure you guys tune in, Snap Count on X, and then Big Play Pittsburgh on YouTube and Instagram. But yeah, that's about as ugly as it gets with everything that was on the line, with it being a t-shirt and hat game, is what we call those games when they are for a division title. That was about as ugly a performance as you can have offensively. I thought the defense actually showed up in the second half and played winning football. But offensively, that was about as bad as it looks.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to jump all over the defense, because really beyond the first couple of minutes, and I still thought it was a, you know, sort of a fluky touchdown pass for Shedeur Sanders, just floating it up there that Harold Fannin hauled in. I saw a post earlier. The Browns had 41 yards of offense on 21 plays in the second half. I mean, that makes it sting even more that the Steelers could not win the football game. From your vantage point, offensively, biggest issue, I feel like it has to start with the quarterback, no?
It is. It's the quarterback and the decision-making and the execution. When we lose, it hurts more because it's how we lose. Now, later that night, the Sunday night game, the Bears lost a game to the San Francisco 49ers. And if I was a Bears, I'm frustrated that we lost that game, but I'm feeling good because we put a good performance out there. We dictated what we wanted to do. With our offense, it feels like we're always on our heels. We're always adjusting to what the defense does. We don't come in with the confidence that we have an identity and we're going to do what we want to do offensively. We should have went to that game and handed the ball off to Gainwell and Warren 30, 40 times. There was no other reason not to, with your big number one receiver out in DK and your next best receiver, or the most consistent receiver, being Kenneth Gainwell. You would have thought he had 6+ catches and at least 10 targets, and he wasn't targeted in the second half at all. So some of the decisions we were making, not playing to our strengths, not running the ball consistently enough when it was working, and decided to throw fade routes to Scotty Miller on 4th-and-1, that's the stuff that just drives me crazy, and it makes you mad as a Steelers fan when these are the issues that you're dealing with. It's common sense to us. How come it's not common sense to them?
Now, Trey, you bring up that play to Scotty Miller on 4th-and-1, and I wanted to ask you about that, so I'm glad you transitioned into it. Now, I only played football at the high school and then D3 college level, but I also played offensive line. Now, you can answer this from the NFL aspect, too, which is perfect for this. Would there be times for you when you would hear a play, or you would hear a play get checked into something else, and think, what are we doing? This is not going to work. Like, I wonder if you could ask everybody on the Steelers offense that question about that 4th-and-1 play, like what the mindset was of, yeah, I'm going to throw a go route to Scotty Miller on 4th-and-1. Like, that's what I'm checking into here.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the call in the huddle. Usually,
he audibled into that.
It was an option on the play, and he decided to go there. Like, it was within the framework of the play call, And nobody knows what the quarterback's going to end up doing
right.
once the play is called. Because the number one option, the number one read on that was Adam Thielen. It was obvious. But obviously, A-Rod has free reign. He saw a single high safety. Any other time, if that's DK or George Pickens, if he so here, not get traded away to the Cowboys, that's a I don't mind that call. You're going to one of your best playmakers in a crucial situation, and that's their specialty. It's a jump ball or a one-on-one ball or a 50-50 ball. Scotty Miller has only been active for 2 weeks. I can't imagine they've built a rapport. He's built a rapport A-Rod in that short amount of time. Granted, he's been here all season long, but he hasn't been in a game-time situation in this type of moment on that type of play and has come through before. Meanwhile, we were running the ball well inside. Now, to answer your question specifically, as an offensive lineman, my bias is to always run the ball. Always. I always think if it's a pass, you should have ran the ball. If it doesn't work, I'm like, told you so. You should have ran the ball. We already run it well. And they had just ran a beautiful tush push earlier in the game with Connor Hayward, a fake tush push with that little option read.
Yep.
So it's like, these are the plays that have been working. We have been doing that well with Connor. Why are we deviating away from what's working and doing something that we haven't done the entire season? It's crazy to me. I don't understand that logic from Arthur Smith or A-Rod. Now, I think Arthur called the right play. Like I said, they had that rub route with the Freiermuth running a streak and rubbing mm-hmm. off for Thielen to come over the middle, a little mesh route, and he was open. And that's the number one read. Arthur called that. So I can't blame Arthur for that. I'm just wondering what A-Rod is doing, not playing to our strengths. That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah, it felt like the way that Jaylen Warren was running the football. He had 12 for 64 on the day. I mean, you're running for that successful mm-hmm. of a clip every time. You got to get the football in that guy's hands more often. Kenneth Gainwell only ran the ball 7 times in the game. It does seem to correlate, and I brought this up with John Harbaugh and the Ravens. You notice when they yeah. lose games, it's because they're not giving the football to Derrick Henry. Kind of the same thing here, Trey. I feel like if you give the football to Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell more, you're probably going to win the football game.
The crazy thing is that's exactly what the recipe was when we won the 3 games prior. I had a little stat, and it was give the ball to Gainwell and Warren 25-plus times, and they did that each of the last 3 games, and we won the game. Between them two, they should have 25, and that's being modest. I think, honestly, between those two, they should have 30-plus, with Warren getting at least 17 and Gainwell finding his way with the rest of the reps. But it's crazy to me that when you see what happened with the Baltimore Ravens team who didn't play to their strengths, when they just stopped running the ball against New England with the lead, and New England came back and won that game and put them in the precarious situation they were in on Saturday, they went back to what worked for them, and that was Derrick Henry running the ball downhill and just completely bruising the Green Bay defense. And you would think with that recipe, with the weather the way it was, with the fact that it was only a 1-score game the entire game, why are we passing the ball 2 times as many times as we're running the ball? It's just, it flies into the face of common sense.
Yeah, and I can't believe I feel this way, and I want to see if you feel the same way, Trey. If the Ravens decide to go with Tyler Huntley on Sunday night, I'm actually mm-hmm. more fearful of that, because if they play an 80% Lamar Jackson, he'll take the game into his hands too much. If it's Huntley, they're just going to give the ball to Derrick Henry, their best player.
That is exactly right. That's exactly what they're going to do, and they did this past Saturday. And not to take any away from Snoop Huntley, he played a hell of a game on Saturday too, when gave him the opportunity to pass the ball or scramble, which has been an issue for us, is mobile quarterbacks getting outside the pocket. Shador did it a few times as well. So, yes, the way that Huntley played on Saturday was the best the quarterback position has looked for the Baltimore all year long, because Lamar has been compromised from the beginning of the season. He's going to want to play. He's going to want to ride for his boys. I know that. So I'm hoping he does, because I think a compromised Lamar is worse for that offense than what you were pointing to. If Tyler Huntley starts, they're going to ride Derrick Henry.
A few more minutes with former Steelers offensive lineman Trey Essex, a 2-time Super Bowl champ. Trey, it felt like the consensus Saturday night after the Ravens won that game in Green Bay was that the Steelers would then lose on Sunday. And I started out the show by, just calling myself an idiot. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought
I didn't either.
I thought, you know what? Aaron Rodgers will make sure that, you know, they stay focused on this. They don't have DK Metcalf. They don't have Calvin Austin. They don't have TJ Watt. But I think they'll do enough to take care of business. They're playing a bad team with a bad rookie QB. Did you ever get that feeling as a player? Probably not a whole lot because you got to play with, you know, and you had Big Ben every time you went into Cleveland at least. But, you know, going into a game against a pretty down opponent, like a weird feeling beforehand, and then what would result in kind of an upset loss?
I remember one game, and I think it was that that game versus the Raiders way back when Richard Seymour gave Ben a right hook. Yeah, I think it was that game. That was a weird game. I think Terrell Pryor also had like some kind of 98-yard touchdown.
Yes.
That was a
Jeanette's
weird game.
Own 93-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. That was we went there. That was a weird feeling, but we had to like traverse cross country. We never felt that way when we were going somewhere in division, like especially Cleveland. And I thought going into this game that Aaron Rodgers, despite those weird feelings that guys might have got, would be the X factor, and he was, but just for the other team, because I think ultimately his decision making was what cost us the game.
What is your confidence level that they can get the job done in week 18?
I think winner takes all, home game in Pittsburgh. We've had relatively good success at home when facing Baltimore with things on the line. I give us a fighter's chance. If we stop Derrick Henry, we win the game. That is the bottom line. We stop Derrick Henry, which I will give the defense credit. They have stepped up in a big way versus the run. Even Derrick Henry didn't eclipse 100 yards, even though he got close to it the first time around. But they've shut down some elite runners during this run. They shut down Jonathan Taylor. They shut down Jahmyr Gibbs. They shut down Achane for the most part. And so if they can do that versus Derrick Henry, I think we win this game. And then I think we win it comfortably within like a touchdown. That's about as comfortable as you can get in this rivalry.
How big of a loss is Darnell Washington to what the Steelers want to do on the ground?
It's huge because not only is he a heck of a player, it's going to be interesting how they rotate, because what we've been doing is that jumbo package with Spencer Anderson is he would come in and be the extra tight end on top of Darnell Washington. And then we would bring in Andres Pete to play left guard. Now, I think a lot of this is contingent based on the health of Isaac Siamalu. Hopefully he comes back, because he was playing some amazing ball this year, and he solidifies that line, even though I think the least of our worries, ironically, going into this game is our offensive line. It's been playing the strongest, I think, of any unit consistently at this point in the year, so I have a lot of faith in them. But not having Darnell Washington is going to have a trickle-down effect. And if we get Isaac Siamalu back, plan on seeing a lot of Spencer Anderson at tight end. And so he might start and play at least 40-50 snaps at tight end, because Darnell Washington is a big part of our offense and is definitely going to hurt us a little bit not having him out there.
And Trey, going on about the offensive line, I mean, you were the Steelers offensive line utility man for a handful of seasons, kind of before Kelvin Beachum came around and did the same thing, which, you know, as an aside, it amazes me that he's still in the league. What a career that he has turned out as a former seventh rounder. But your thoughts on the offensive line, a group that I think has really come together, and specifically the right side of that offensive line, Frazier McCormick and Fautanu, all in the same draft class. And they all seem like guys that can be really good here for about a decade.
Oh, that right side is going to be good for the next 10 years. That's one side. The way they've played and the way they developed has been fun to watch, because you don't even worry about them anymore. You're not even questioning the snap issue with Zach Frazier that he had last year. And you're not even questioning how good Mason McCormick is, coming, what, fourth or fifth round out of Montana or North Dakota State, one of those schools. And then obviously Troy Fontano, he has the resume. He was a left tackle at Washington, but came and played right tackle and has made it his own. He is doing some things out there. Troy is fun to watch because he has moves. And usually when you think about offensive linemen, they don't have moves. He is punching. He is trapping. He is quick setting. He is setting back, vertical setting. So it's fun to watch. Now, this left side is going to be interesting. With Broderick coming up, I don't know if they're going to give him that fifth year. I don't think they will, especially with the way Dylan Cook has been playing. But Dylan Cook has been playing lights out. That's been cool to see, too. And if we can keep Isaac Siamalu there for at least two or three more years, we have a solid line. I think we're going to next year with at least a top 10, maybe top five offensive line.
Do you think they may just stick with Dylan Cook, given the way he's played?
I think they're going to have a competition. I think they're going to have an open competition. I mean, they did invest in Broderick, and he was playing better when he got hurt. And so you got to at least give him the chance to compete for that position. But I think Dylan Cook has played so good that he goes into camp next year as a number one tackle.
Trey, before we let you go, remind people where to find you.
Find us on the Snap Count on Twitter. Me and Charlie Batch giving you our 2 cents on the Steelers and the state of the Steelers. And also on YouTube at Big Play Pittsburgh and Instagram. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Friday at 2 p.m.
Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman, two-time Super Bowl champ. Trey, thanks for taking the time, man. Have a great new year.
Appreciate it, Donnie. Have a happy new year, brother.
There we go. Trey Essex. You know, Dom, sometimes there are easy conversations, easy interviews in this business. I mean, whether it be TV or radio. Trey is always a very easy one. I mean, I've only gotten to talk to him a couple of times filling in on the morning show, but it's one I always look forward to. I mean, sometimes you run into a guest that maybe you're unfamiliar with, and it's kind of like gritting teeth, pulling teeth to get through a couple of minutes. But what, that was 15, 16 minutes with Trey that just flew by? But I've had times before. I know the guys have had times before in the afternoon. You get somebody, it's hard to get like 6 minutes out of them. It's tough. It's tough. I always forget which baseball guy it is, and I don't want to slight the wrong one. One of like the big baseball writers we have had on a couple of times, and he will keep things very, very short, and he will end it abruptly.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I truly can't remember which one it is, so I don't want to say the wrong one, but we've had him on a couple of times, you know, around free agency, trade deadline season. He will just end his sentence like right in the middle. Very bizarre. 412-928-9370. You can join the conversation. You can hit us up on the fan text line. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So great stuff there from Trey Essex. Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now, he will join us at 9 o'clock. The Penguins made a move yesterday, and there's also something Penguins-related that Dom wants to get into, having to deal with the people that get into the arena. But coming up, more about the loss in Cleveland and why it's sort of a microcosm of Mike Tomlin's career. I want to get into that coming up next. We'll take your calls, too, at 412-928-9370. Donnie Football in for the guys on 93.7 The Fan.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You can follow along on Twitter. You can watch the shows there now as well at 93.7 The Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We dive into some hockey talk in a little bit. Dan Kangurski will join the show. The Penguins making a trade yesterday. We will get to that. Danton Heinen, one of the players sent back in the trade. We will tell you who they got, what else they gave up. Was it a smart move from Kyle Dubas and company? I feel like the Tristan Jarry move was a good one. You get that off the books. Jarry immediately getting hurt in Edmonton and getting placed on injured reserve. But I feel like mostly that one was good because they get the contract out of their hands. 412-928-9370. Talking Steelers until then. Want to get into why I felt like the loss in Cleveland was kind of a metaphor for Mike Tomlin's entire career. But first, I want to chat with Ben in Katanning. What's up, Ben?
Hey, I had a couple questions here. One, make them quick. One would be, who keeps calling that pitch play where, you know, we're third and one and we throw it back 10 yards? Is that Arthur Smith? Because if it is, I seen that like Matt Canada played that other wide receiver screen. And two, is our defense too predictable? Because they keep beating us over the middle all the time. Is that like zone defense that we're losing on or what?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the zone defense, yeah, I mean, they're going to get beat over the middle. That's why that they give up a lot of yardage to tight ends. But the defense, I feel, as a whole, just in general about the defense, I feel like they have been a pretty good unit for the back half of the season. Now, they've had their down games. That game against Buffalo, the second half was really bad. First half, pretty good. The effort against the Lions, I thought, pretty good for about 2.5 quarters. It started to fall off late, but then they came up big when they needed to. I thought the defense more than did its job on Sunday. Like, you can say what you will about Mike Tomlin having his team ready to play, the 53 guys ready to play, in a spot where it was going to be the Steelers with an opportunity to win the AFC North, not have to worry about Week 18. But when the conversation comes down to his defense and the performance of his baby and the job done by Terrell Austin in that spot on Sunday, I thought they had a good game. They limited what the Browns were able to do really after the first few minutes. It was a fluky touchdown to Harold Fannin. And really, if Kyle Duggar just makes a smarter play on the football, that touchdown never happens. And who knows if the Browns ever score. That game could have ended 9-6, or it could have been a 6-6 tie or something like that. Or maybe the Steelers win the game 6-3. Who knows if the Browns are able to get the field goals that they need. Because the one they got at the end of the game, they got that field goal because the offense had already put them right there. They went 4 and out. But they made Shedeur Sanders look like a rookie QB, beyond a couple of throws, had 2 picks, pretty bad picks. One deflected. The other one was a terrible decision and a terrible throw. It was the offense that dropped the ball easily. And you ask about the pitch play. Yeah, I mean, that's Arthur Smith. Now, there might be times where Aaron Rodgers checks into that if he feels like it's going to work better. But yeah, I would say 9 times out of 10, that's just what the play call was. And it hasn't been as frustrating of a play this season because they have guys that can run the football better on that play. Guys like Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, they can hit the hole a lot faster and with more conviction than what Najee Harris could do. Harris was too slow to pull off a pitch play and having to get to the outside or having to hit the hole very quickly. That was what I felt was his main weakness. They have two guys that could actually pull that off, so that's why they call that play a good bit. 412-928-9370. Jim in Monroeville. What's up, Jim?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call this morning, Donnie Football.
What's up, man?
You know, look, obviously a terrible game by the offense, by the team. But, you know, I hate to bring this up, but I'm sorry. The officiating in that game, And I'm talking about the last play of the game. I don't care if this was the Minnesota Vikings versus the Raiders. I'm not saying this because I'm a Steelers fan. I think something has to be said about that no call at the end of the game. And I know Mike Tomlin would probably come out today and say, hey, we can't rely on a pass interference call to give us a win. And I agree. But at the same time, man, at that point, I stood up and said, great, that's a penalty flag. We're on the goal line, one more play to punch it in. And that didn't happen. I think that's something, as a fan of the game, it sucks. You know, lack of a better word, it sucks to watch a game where it's an obvious pass interference, not called. And this was a game that mattered to the Steelers and meant nothing to the Browns. And, I just want to get your thoughts, and I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I talked a little bit about it earlier. Thanks for the call, Jim. I mean, I normally don't want to come away from a game thinking like, man, the refs just screwed the Steelers, and, you know, they should be the team benefiting from these calls. And, you know, could they very easily have thrown a flag on that last play? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm also, you know, I'm not always going to be up in arms over a play like that, because we see ticky-tacky calls get made all of the time, that sometimes when they let the boys play a little bit, it's okay. Because something that has been taken away from the game of football, a game that a lot of us love to either play at one time or consume as fans, it is kind of a commentary on the state of the game that anytime the defense gets a stop, you are just waiting for a flag to come flying in and take away all of that positivity. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. We'll get to more calls coming up next at 412-928-9370. We also have the Penguins trade to talk about. Dan Kangurski joins the show at the top of the hour. We will get into that. 412-928-9370 is the number. Donnie Football in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
About 10 minutes away from the 50-minute mark on The Fan, that's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Donnie Football in for Adam and Doran this morning. Adam with the day off, taking the couple of days leading up to New Year's Day off. Jeff Hathorn and Jim Colony will be hosting the morning show tomorrow. Doran Dickerson taking more of his paternity leave. He and Rochelle having a baby a couple of months ago. So another congratulations to them. Doran taking time around the holiday to spend it with his beautiful family at home. Dom DiTommaso is behind the glass. He is filling in for Nicholas Harry Callis, who celebrated a birthday yesterday. We get back out to the phones at 412-928-9370. Sam is in Cannonsburg. What's going on, Sam?
Donnie, what's up, brother? How are you?
Good. What do you got for me?
Question and another narrative question. First question, Darnell Washington. Is his arm broken, or is it kind of Aaron Rodgers broken, where they might be able to wrap that thing up and he can at least come back in for like the tush push? Did you hear anything on that?
Well, it appeared that after the game, I think it was the Mike DeFabo tweet that I saw, that he had it like in a sling and he had the wrist pretty heavily wrapped up. So DeFabo's tweet said left wrist was wrapped from his hand to his bicep and the arm was in a sling. It did not look good.
Yeah, so I guess my thing with that is they're really relying on him with the some of the inside and outside runs, especially with that tush-push. I mean, why not just get Spencer Anderson some reps this week, have him fill in? He can push Connor Hayward plenty enough. He's got enough butt in him, too. And then my second thing, is this the last week of Aaron Rodgers' career? I mean, you know, he's not coming back next year, I don't think. I mean, it'd be a pretty sad day. I think he's been pretty electric in Pittsburgh. Whether the play's there or not, I think he's been a net positive for this town and for the team. And with that is Mike T gone if we end up losing this ball game.
So to answer those kind of going from 3-1, I do not think Mike Tomlin is gone unless it's on his own accord. I mean, if the Steelers lose the game, I think it will be the final football game for Aaron Rodgers. And that's something that has kind of been undersold. I mean, I've been included in that, in the underselling of it. Now, we will get more and more into that, I think, as the week goes on and the closer we get to the game, because I feel like the tipping point normally when it comes to the reaction from a game and then the preparation for another game, it's normally what happens today around noon. The Mike Tomlin presser, I feel, is like that turn the page point, to cue up a little Bob Seger, that you go from reacting to the game that just happened to the anticipation for the next one. But I do think that's absolutely a storyline in this game, and I think maybe it's a little footnote, and Dom, we had this conversation earlier. Maybe that's a little sidebar as to why NBC said, no, let's do Pittsburgh on Sunday night, because if the Steelers do lose, that could be it for one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. A guy that has won the league MVP 4 times. He's a Super Bowl champion. He will be in the, you know, first-class Hall of Fame room in Canton one day. I wonder if that's a little underlying story to why they decided to do Pittsburgh. Like, hey, not only is it for the division, but if the Steelers lose, that could be it for one of the most decorated players the league has ever seen.
Yeah. Now, it's tough because, you know, he could return next season. I don't think he will. I don't think it'll be here. I think if he plays next year, it'll be in Minnesota. So I guess you go into it not knowing 100% if it's his final game, but if it turns out to be, then they can say that they had it.
Yeah, that is something too. I do like the little pull with Minnesota. Maybe they kind of realize, hey, we should have called him all along and not rode with J.J. McCarthy. But that is something that he and Brett Favre do have in common. I know that he has tried to separate himself from Brett Favre when it comes to football. I think that, like, in an odd way, kind of went to the Myles Garrett sack record thing. Because Brett Favre, as accomplished as he was, he very infamously gave himself up on a Michael Strahan sack that led to Strahan at the time, and now still tied with T.J. Watt as the single-season all-time sack getter. But those guys loved, both of them, taking it way into the offseason and kind of playing at their pace and deciding if they wanted to keep playing football or not. Now, that is ultimately their prerogative, and it is up to the teams that are interested in staying interested or just kind of leaving them behind. But that is something that has to be considered, that it could be the final game for Aaron Rodgers in the NFL, not only in a Steelers uniform, but in the National Football League, if things do not go well. Kevin is in California. Now he's on the Fan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for picking my call.
What's up, man?
Hey, just real quick, I have a question. What the Browns defense did to the Steelers as far as, you know, the Steelers being without DK and Calvin. And obviously, I think they said the Browns had the number one pass defense, I think, in the league at the time.
Yes.
If the Ravens decide to follow the same, you know, formula, what can the Steelers do offensively this week differently to help them shake them out of that, being able to be schemed out of the game like that?
Say that again, Kevin. Sorry.
What can the Steelers do differently on offense, seeing that they're going to have the same, you know, wide receivers available? What can they do differently this week to get out of that funk of not being able to get the ball down the field?
So I like the question there. I have to admit I completely lost focus looking on Twitter for a moment, but that's why I had to ask Kevin for the question again. But I think it goes back to something that Trey Essex talked about earlier this hour. You can open things up passing the football if you can run the ball with success. And they showed they could do that against the Browns. They just didn't stick to it. They went away from it. Jaylen Warren ran the football well. Almost every time he had the football in his hands, positive things happened. 12 carries for 64 yards and only 7 carries then for Kenneth Gainwell. You have to give the guy more than that. You have to give those guys more than that. Because with what you're not able to use at wide receiver, you have to use your best players to their strengths. If that means running the football more, sticking to a pretty simple pass game, that's what I would do, at least. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. The Penguins made a trade. We get into that with Dan Kangurski at the top of the hour. They also have seemingly struggled to get people in the building this season. We get into that coming up next on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Dom, you know what the most damning stat or nugget that was shared on Sunday was by Jim Nance, who I think is absolutely one of the best in the business?
What's that?
The Steelers have not won a game in Cleveland without Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback since 2003. That's a testament to a couple of things. How good Ben was against the Browns. You know, quarterbacks occasionally will just dominate within their division. Ben dominated the Browns. Kind of like how Tom Brady dominated teams like the Jets and the Bills, kind of like the way that Josh Allen has dominated some of that division, and maybe how Drake May will be the next guy in line to do that. But they are now losers of 4 games in a row. Since that tie in 2018 to start the season, the Browns have won 6 of the last 7 games in Cleveland. And the one outlier in those 7 is the one game that was started and played by Ben Roethlisberger on Halloween of 2021. 2019, it was Mason Rudolph. That was the Myles Garrett game, the helmet game. The final game of the 2020 season, which was January of 21, Mason Rudolph started that game because the Steelers had already clinched the AFC North. Then Big Ben started and won. They won the game 15-10. Then they lost early in 22. They lost back-to-back games in November in 23 and 24. And then they lost on Sunday. And some of the quarterbacks they've lost to in that time, Jacoby Brissett, Jameis Winston, who's by far, I think, the best one. They lost a game in there to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and they lost a game on Sunday to Shedeur Sanders. It kind of feels to me, and this is probably a little bit harsh, but I think in a way it's a microcosm of what Mike Tomlin's career has been like. You go back to that 2003 game, that was still Bill Cowher. Tommy Maddox was the quarterback of record in that game for Pittsburgh. 73 yards and a touchdown in that game. Jerome Bettis ran for 93 on the ground. So that also means that without Big Ben at QB, and there have been a few times, clearly, during Ben's career where somebody else had to fill in, Mike Tomlin has never won a game in Cleveland sans Big Ben. And I feel like you can kind of draw some parallels as to, well, Mike Tomlin hasn't really accomplished anything great without Big Ben. Now, there have been examples left and right throughout NFL history of coaches that get carried by great quarterbacks. I mean, the guy that many consider to be the greatest head coach in NFL history, Bill Belichick, he just had a horrendous first season at North Carolina. He was never all that great of an NFL head coach without Tom Brady. And we have all also seen seasons of really lackluster play from that position where Mike Tomlin has gotten this team to 9-8 somehow. You know, the Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph year, that is looked at as a good year under Mike Tomlin's ledger, and I think it should be. Getting a team that's quarterbacked by those two guys to 8-8 at the time is impressive. We are going to look back and think that a team that was quarterbacked by Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph getting to 10-7, that's a hell of a job, even though Rudolph was really the key cog in that down the stretch. But that was wild. And I knew that they had, that the Browns had been on a bit of a streak, and I knew that they, since that tie back in 2018, have had the better of this rivalry, but I didn't even realize going into the game Sunday that Mike Tomlin has never won a game in Cleveland without Big Ben. And again, I feel like that was just a testament to a couple of things, and in a weird way, kind of a metaphor for Tomlin's career. Fan weather. That's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Windy and cloudy, high of 25 today. Tomorrow for New Year's Eve, high of 29, a chance of snow.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.